Yesterday, July 20th, saw dozens of anti-shale gas activists stage a rally in the community of Cochin, New Brunswick. The high-spirited rally brought together representatives from Acadian, Anglophone, and First Nations communities. Also in attendance was lifetime Kent County resident and New Brunswick Provincial Minister of Transportation and Infrastructure, Claude Williams. I caught up with Williams at the rally and spoke with him about recent developments within the growing anti-shale gas movement in the province. For the Halifax Media Co-op, I'm Miles Howe. So, Claude Williams, you're the Minister of Transport for the provincial government of New Brunswick. You've been here for about an hour now, listening to your constituents from Cochin. What's the feeling that you're getting here?
Well, the feeling I'm getting is that it's clear their concern with all the issue about shale gas, the exploration and exploitation. It's clear in their mind that they want the whole thing about shale gas to be stopped, and I respect their views and their concern. It's clear that there's no doubt in the comment that I've getting from the people here today, and I get people that I represent in their area of Kent South. They're calling me every week, and I welcome their comment, and I want to hear their concern, because bottom line, there's a lot of questions, and those questions, we don't have all the answers. So I think we got to try to get as much information. And I think this process about communication, about information, it should be open and transparent.
We're starting to see that this is not just perhaps a minority that we can, you know, push under the carpet or something. There's the 16-1, the mayors of Kent County voted for a moratorium. We're now seeing petitions with upwards of 95% of residents in Kent County saying no to shale gas. At what point does the provincial government need to be responsible to the majority of people and perhaps not SWN's industry prerogatives or their desires?
Well, the statistic that you just brought, the one about Thursday, that one is accurate. What about the 95%? I don't know if there was a survey.
There's petitions going around now. I'm sure they'll be made public quite shortly.
Petition, yeah, and I agree. And we get petition on many topics. And this is what is good about being able to live in a democracy. But just to take on the statistic you just mentioned, I think there's more than that statistic.
Okay, well, let's just talk about the mayors then. 16-1 mayors in Kent County voting for a moratorium. How do you respond to that? You're a representative in Kent County as well.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that I take that information as a message, a clear message. Now, the mayors, they went there at a meeting at the regional commission in which they're part. So before going to that meeting, did each mayor really went and had a referendum or plebiscite in their community, or it was just the council that discussed that in one of their meeting, decided, the six people decided about the position? So I don't know how the process in terms of all the mayors, and that is what I would like really to know. So if you take the mayor, and if they went there with 100% or 90% of backup from the people from their municipality, that's something else. But let's...
We both know that politics works on the basis of lobbying. So I would imagine that they were lobbied by their constituents and responded in kind to their constituents' demands. Would you assume that that's how they came to that decision, or they're just acting as...
No, I think there was...
Fiefdoms or...
No, certainly there would have been a discussion with their people in their municipality.
Right.
Definitely, but to what extent? Because take the example from the LSD in St. Paul. The representative, the president of the LSD came out, I think he was against, and then when the community met on the issue, then they decided to stay neutral. So that's... That LSD is part of the same regional commission in which you're referring to statistic. The statistic there, it sends a clear message, but for your question, if government should act just upon that, I think there's need to be more discussion on that, on the whole issue of shale gas.
Fair enough. We've heard a couple times from David Allward in particular that this is kind of the fault, or this wasn't begun by the Conservative government, and then this was begun by the Graham government. Can you comment on how tied in SWN is right now in the province? Is it as easy as saying, I'm sorry, no, we can't have this? Or are there contracts, are there lawsuits that are going to surface from any kind of strong no from the provincial government? And maybe that's why they're not acting?
No, this was started back by the former government when SWN came in New Brunswick. So they've applied to the process within government to apply for those lease to do exploration. So that was done then, that there was contract signed. When we came in government, well, we had to look at what was in place. And you mentioned Premier Allward in our platform back in 2010. We've indicated in our platform that natural resources, that is something we would look into. So we haven't, it's nothing new that we would be looking into. So we were clear when we went to the electorate back in 2010.
I guess I'm interested, what would it take to say no right now as this provincial government? And can you elaborate on what kind of legal or contractual obligations this province now has with SWN? Is it as easy as saying no, goodbye, or are there fiscal penalties for doing that?
Well, this question would be better direct to the minister responsible for the file, the minister Leonard. He's responsible for that file.
I know, but you're here right now, so
I'm just here right now, and I don't have all those details, because these are all the technical legal information. And not being responsible for that file, it's not that I don't want to comment. I don't have that information, so I wouldn't want to just say, well, something that I'm not sure and I don't know the answer. So I don't have the answer.
Now, a couple of your constituents came to you the other day and asked you about the probably sizable RCMP bill that's adding up right now. We've seen episodes where there's 40 to 50 RCMP, 20 cars. There's a whole unit. There's a shale gas unit on this. You mentioned to them at the time not to worry because SWN was picking up the bill for the RCMP on the shale gas unit. You then called them back and said perhaps you misspoke. What is the actual story on that?
Well, the story there's all about security, all about the RCMP and the private firm. It is clear that the public safety, the Department of Public Safety, which is the department responsible for the RCMP, they are responsible to cover the cost of the RCMP, that is what's related on the public highway or road or any public area. So the RCMP, and I'll use that example just to put that in perspective, let's say on Route 126, where the major presence of the RCMP, we are responsible, the province are responsible to cover the cost of the RCMP. There's other costs associated, and that was part of this discussion that I had with some people earlier. There's other costs associated with a private firm that provides security for equipment and all that, and that would not be covered by the province. So RCMP, which dealing with the public safety, the province of New Brunswick is responsible for the cost. So there was the discussion, and might have provided those people the wrong information. I've corrected that, and I apologize for giving them some wrong information. And again, there's more details as to the other cost for security. So I'm getting all the details, so there's no ambiguity whether what the RCMP are being covered and are being covered by the taxpayer and what security are covered by the private sector.
Do you have any idea how high that bill is currently?
I don't have an idea, but that's a question that I've asked to see what's the budget associated with this issue.
Now, if SWN begins to do drilling, that's going to put a huge pressure on the existing transportation infrastructure, the highways, byways of your constituency, of Kent County, of most of New Brunswick. What is the average cost for a kilometer of asphalt to be laid, and is SWN going to be picking up those costs?
Well, that's a very good question. The cost of asphalt right now, it's in hundreds of thousands of dollars. So certainly and definitely, if this go forward, there's going to be the increased traffic is going to be there. We will have to do really an evaluation as what it's going to represent, and based on the an industry that would move forward, then we will be able to get the exact cost as to maintain, rehabilitate, and build new road if needs be. And certainly we're not in the thousands of dollars, it'll be in the millions of dollars. So once we can get all those details as to the volume, the location, the traffic, and the already existing infrastructure, then we can come up and say, well, this is the budget that will be required in order to make that industry can operate. But it'll be in the millions of dollars.
And New Brunswick is already $12 billion in debt. Kent County itself is a beautiful place, but does it have the money in the bank to provide this transportation infrastructure for SWN? Is this rolling out the red carpet? Are we going to be expecting SWN to foot the bill for all this?
Well, look, if I would have to put all the road up to par tomorrow morning, I don't have the budget to do it.
So SWN is going to be footing the bill?
Well, again, I don't know what's going to be the agreement that will be put forward. We're not there yet. These discussions have not occurred at this point in time.
Now, you've got an election coming up. What do you think your chances are of running as a conservative in a riding where you appear to be very responsible, listening to people? You allowed people to, you know, talk to you, voice their concerns for the better part of an hour in the sun. Do you think you're going to get back in on a conservative platform, or would you consider running it as an independent?
Well, first, I've ran back 12 years ago to represent the people. This is part of the progressive conservative government. This is traditionally a liberal riding. So I'm here to represent the people. And when I get next year before the election, my decision will be taken there. And look, if the people at the end of the day will have the last say, they'll have the last word, and I'll respect the people's choice.
Okay, thanks so much for your time.
Thank you.